you have, Lord, and the freedom still to assemble. Mm. Lord, I just pray, just bless the services this morning. Lord, I pray, just lead God and direct your God, just have your will and way. Lord, and everything that's said and done, may Jesus Christ be glorified. Yes. Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before Brother Ralph comes up, I'll make a few announcements here. This coming Saturday, July 3rd, we will have our picnic. Pray that it doesn't rain, but at least it will not be 40 degrees outside, so we'll be okay. Hopefully, if the temperature starts dropping, I'm going to seriously consider moving back to South Carolina, because that would not be normal. Okay? So, Lord willing, July 3rd, the picnic. There's a sign-up sheet over here if you want to come. Just put your name there. You don't have to bring anything. If you'd like to bring something, you can put it on that sign-up sheet there. Also, Lord willing, after this Sunday, through this whole day today, we have the final, Lord willing, the final membership list. So just take one final look at it before we print it out. I want to print out 25 because I already made a mistake on here. So just check again and put it on here, and then Lord willing, next Sunday we'll have these to hand out for people for the membership list if you'd like them. So I'll leave that all to the side here. Lord willing, next Sunday, we got a special visitor coming in, Brother John Sasser. He's with the Hope of Israel Baptist Mission. He's out of Maryland. I forget what town down there. I think it was, what is it, Melanie? Lindell? Lundell or something. I thought it was another one. He's coming with us. I've known him for 20-some years. He's a blessing. He's been faithful to the Lord for all 20 years that I've known him, trying to minister to the Jewish people. They just did a tent meeting up in Boston, in the city of Boston. They got the permits. They do it every year. They set up a tent. But get this, they were up there setting up a tent, and three Jewish women came by and said, "What is this?" And so he explained it to them. She worked for the Jewish consulate. And she had, I don't know if he was able to make it out there, but supposedly the ambassador to Israel was supposed to go out there and hear a gospel preach.
Hey.
Tell me that means something there. So I'm going to talk to him, Lord willing, this week to see if he asked for prayer about that. But he was supposed to show up to that tent to hear about Jesus Christ. So he'll be with us next Sunday. The following Sunday after that, Brother Pinto, he'll be here with us that Sunday morning. And then, I think that's all I got for right now. Keep the sign holding them. I appreciate everybody, those that pray, those that go out, I think God's blessing them. I really do think the Lord's blessing that effort there, so continue to pray for that as we continue to try to be a light and testimony to this community. Amen. Brother Ralph, come on up.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see each other here this morning. All right, let's turn to number 26 in your chorus book. Favorite of many of us. first one. I've Got a Mansion. 107.
Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. sure.
Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Christ may appear at any moment. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No escape for procrastinators. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
All right. Our children's class can be dismissed at this time. Asher?
All right. So you take your Bibles. We're going to continue on in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We'll be looking again at verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Last week, we were going over in the book of Hebrews and looking at this thought about entering into rest. But if we look here at Genesis chapter 2 again in verse number 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Let me pray again this morning. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, I pray you just open your word, Lord, to us. I pray you'd open our eyes and our ears to receive what you would have for us, Lord, that we would just glorify you and draw closer to you, Lord, in these last days that we're living in. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I wanted to continue on this thought of rest, of resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of individuals, before they're saved, fall short of entering into rest that accompanies salvation. And then there's many others, after they're saved, that fail to rest in what Jesus Christ has already done for them. Brother Lance and I were talking about before, you know, you get raised in a charismatic or a Pentecostal type church. It seems like you could never enter into a true rest in Jesus Christ because you're always fearful of you losing your salvation. How can you rest in Jesus if every day you're concerned of whether you've lost it or not? To me, that brings about turmoil. Now, listen, it's not going to bring about turmoil in your mind if you're not striving to live for God. If you're just going to church to puncture ticket and I'm just doing what my duty is to do as a Christian, it's not going to bring you any turmoil. But if you're raising up a church like that to where you believe you have to keep it and you're sincere about it, you'll go crazy trying to keep it. Because if you're honest, if you're honest with yourself, you realize you can't keep your salvation for 1 hour, much less for your whole lifetime. If you're honest. Brethren, I failed as your pastor a couple weeks ago because I failed to grade some tests. But those of you who took a test, some of you come up and told me you got an A on it. Some did very good. And then others didn't do so well. I mean, I went out that morning, Monday morning, and I came back. My wife said, "Did you pass?" I said, "Man, you're rough." Wow. I was like, I said, "No, I didn't." I said, I was driving down the road and I said, "Why are you making that turn like that?" I said, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry." And so I'm driving on further. I said, "Okay, I'm good now." And then, so I'm driving along. Somebody else does something. Well, I don't say nothing. And the Lord's like, "Son, now why?" I said, "Lord, I didn't even say it." He's like, "Yeah, but you thought it in your heart." I said, "Ugh." You know, if you're honest, like, how well did you did not complaining for one whole day? Come on, if you're honest, you know, and then you say, "Well, preacher, I didn't say it," but was it in your heart? It doesn't have to come out the mouth if it was thought in the heart. See, God knows the heart. You see, this morning, what God's looking for every one of us is just to be honest. That's all God's looking for. Just be honest. Don't try to cover things up. Don't try to say something. You can't keep your salvation. Listen, you cannot keep your salvation. It's impossible. So I was at a flea market one time and some people walked by and I had just gotten saved, zealous for the Lord, sitting out there trying to, kind of like what Brother Chris and Brother Joe and Sister Chris set up that table there and they hand out tracts. Kind of we were doing the same thing there. And a lady come by, she's like, I don't need one. I said, all right, you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. She told me where she went. She went to a Pentecostal church. I said, all right. I said, but she's like, you can lose your salvation. I said, well, did you sin today? No, I don't sin at all. I said, you don't sin, you don't lie? No, I don't. I make mistakes, but I don't sin. You see, they got their ways around it. Listen, I'm not coming down on Pentecostals because I used to be one. I said, that's the way I was raised. But my point is this, just be honest. You can't keep your salvation. If you sin one time, you just done lost it. See, I've gone southern on you, am I talking? It's because my boys are here. Miss Burke calls it redneck talk. Somebody already come up and say, your sons say y'all. Well, that's where they were raised. So if they say y'all to you, they can't help it. So, but, you know, it's you can't keep your salvation. So you say, preacher, what? James or John or Genesis 2, 1 through 3 here says, God rested the seventh day. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you rest in him. That's what salvation is. I got peace. I have peace with my soul today that I know if I take my last breath, I would have to lie to you to say that I'm not going home to be with Jesus Christ. He's giving me a peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it. But when I got saved, he gave me something I'd never had before. And that was that clear conscience and a rest in him. I rest in Jesus. And I'm so glad this morning that I can just rest in him knowing that he has secured my salvation and I don't have to worry about doing anything for it. It's all complete in Jesus. Now, look back at Hebrews chapter 3 and look at verse number 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 3. Well, look back up at verse. We kind of looked last week at verse number 6 where it talks about, in verse 6 it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 7, wherefore, and we got parentheses, but if you jump from wherefore down to verse number 12, you know, you're skipping over those parentheses. So look at verse 7. Look at where it says wherefore, but then he has a parenthetical statement. But look, if you just went straight to verse 12, he says, wherefore, take heed. But look what he adds in the middle before he says, take heed. Look what he puts in there in that parenthetical statement. He says, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, look what God says now in verse 8. He says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me. Proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, look what he says, they shall not enter into my rest. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, getting ready to cross into the promised land, they doubted God. And God said, listen, y'all harden your hearts. He says, they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. God proved himself to the children of Israel, and when he brought them to a place to where he wanted to take them over into the promised land, they fell short of it. They fell short of entering into his rest. And believers today can be the same way. They can spend the majority of their life wandering around in the wilderness instead of fully trusting and resting upon what Jesus Christ has for them and the promises contained in his word. You do not have to live a life consistently with anxiety. You don't. You don't have to live a life consistently in a depressed state. You don't. Now, will it occur? Yes. But Christ, Jesus Christ can give you the victory over it. It's possible. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying this morning that anxiety and depression will never come. What I'm saying this morning is that you can get victory over it through Jesus Christ. Now, will it be easy? Absolutely not. It will not be easy. We were just talking earlier, brother, and the hardest battles to get over are the battles in your mind. I would rather wrestle somebody for 3 minutes. Or 6 minutes is a wrestle match, right? 6 minutes. I would rather wrestle somebody for 6 minutes. And that's one of the hardest sports there are out there because it's just you and another guy. 6 minutes going at it, really no rest in those 6 minutes. There's really not much of a rest. I would rather do that than wrestle in my mind for 10 seconds. You see, the battles in your mind don't go away. You wrestle, you get done, somebody wins, somebody loses, you go home, you go your own way, they're not there. But you got battles in your mind, you cannot escape it. I don't care where you go and what you try to do, it's always there. You know what surprises me? Is everybody's looking for relief outside of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. When you go to the grocery store, or you go to the drugstore this week, if you do go to one, look at the magazine rack and look how many on there are of celebrities that are having trouble with their minds. I just saw one on Howie Mandel. The man's got everything you could want, yet he's still struggling with anxiety, stress, depression. Man, why are you depressed? You're a celebrity. You got money. You can have anything you want, yet you're still depressed. Why? Because you're sin. He's got a sin problem, and the sin problem can't be dealt with but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he'll never have deliverance. And so you know what the devil pumps in their mind? Well, just end your life. You see, you've tried everything, and you're still there. Just end it. What's the use of even living? That's why Robin Williams, I believe, took his life. The man had everything he could possibly want. And he still wasn't happy, though he made a lot of people laugh. Inside, he was miserable. And all the people he made laugh, if they were honest, inside, they were miserable. The laughter provided a temporary relief, but it couldn't cleanse the heart of the sin problem. I went into CVS yesterday to pick something up, and there's this magazine now there. It said optimal thinking or positive thinking. You can think positive all day long, but it ain't going to cleanse your conscience. And that's what's missing today. People are failing to realize that rest can only be had in Jesus Christ. There's no other place to rest, brethren. There's no other place to rest but in the arms of Jesus Christ. He says here, and God's getting on his children, Israel, saying, listen, you failed to enter into rest. Why? Because of your heart. Your heart and your hearts. And when your heart and your heart, you're going to have a hard time entering into rest. Look what he says in verse number 11 in Hebrews chapter 3. He says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 31. Romans 9, 31. Romans chapter number 9. And look at verse number 31 this morning. Romans 9, 31. Look at what this says here now, because I'm going to get to a point. Look what it says about Israel. Romans 9, 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why couldn't they attain to the law of righteousness? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus Christ is an offense. Look, we're talking about it. You hold up signs. There's not one sign that we hold up on Thursday that's really offensive. I don't got any. There's no signs that say hell on them. Yet somebody in one of the posts said they said something about hell. Not one of them says anything about hell. They were saying stuff that were on those signs that were on any of those signs that we were holding up. See, they're seeing what they think they want to see. You know, automatically you hold up a sign and you says, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Why are you being so nasty? Oh, did I touch something? Why are you so mad if you're all good? If God don't exist and you're an atheist, why are you so mad? Why are you battling against something that isn't there? Right? Why? Because the conscience knows. The conscience knows. God put in every man and woman, child, the knowledge of good and evil. And they know when they see that sign, you see Jesus Christ is a rock of offense. Either you fall on him and get broken, or he'll fall on you and take you out. You see, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Someday he's cleaning house, son. Look, the first time he came as a lamb, the second time he's coming out of line. Ain't nobody going to spit in his face the second time. You humble down now, you repent, you turn to Jesus Christ and his blood that he can save you. You turn to him and say, God, I need you. And you get forgiveness through his blood. You get saved. You just fell on that rock. You fall on that rock and he can save you. You fail to fall on that rock, the Bible says that rock's going to fall on you and it's going to grind you into pieces. You see, we're in the age of grace. We got a time, a place of making ourselves right with God through Jesus Christ to enter into that rest. You see, the children of Israel, they tried to go about establishing their own righteousness. Why? Because it says in verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law. In their own pride, they thought they can work their way good enough to spend eternity with God. They thought they could keep the law. They're lying to themselves. They were lying to themselves. They cannot keep the law of God. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, look at this verse 3, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not, there's a big word that people don't like. There's a big word people don't like. You know why most people won't come to Jesus Christ? That word right there, submitted. I'm not submitting. I'm not having anybody tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. What it says here about Israel, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What word you see in both of those things, both of those verses there is the heart. Look back at Hebrews chapter 3 again. Why couldn't they enter in? Because they hardened their heart. Brethren, it comes back to the heart. It comes back to the heart. You can say all the words all day long. You can repeat a prayer. You can say something that some preacher says to say or a Sunday school teacher says to say. But if your heart's not there, you're not getting in. You can say the words. You can say the words all day long. But where's my question this morning? Where's the heart? Because I've often said this, what if you can't talk? What if you're a mute? What if you have no vocal cords? It comes back to the heart. What is your heart saying? I don't care too much about the words. What is the heart saying? Is the heart saying, I want Jesus Christ. I want to believe on him for my salvation. Is the heart saying, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you and what you've done for me on the cross of Calvary? Is the heart saying it? Or is it just some mere words that came out of the mouth, but the heart's not there? You see, God knows the heart. God can look through the words and say, yeah, you're saying all the right things. As people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're saying all the right thing. Jesus said, you're saying all the right things, but your heart's not there. Where's your heart? Take your Bible, look at verse number 19 in Hebrews chapter 3. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 19. Look at verse 17. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 3, jump down to verse 17. He talks about how they hardened their hearts as in a provocation. Talk about how Moses brought them up out of Egypt. Look at verse 17. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believe not? Look what he says in verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter into the rest that God had prepared for them because of unbelief. What is unbelief? In the New Testament, disbelief of the truth of the gospel, rejection of Christ as the Savior of men and of the doctrines he taught, distrust of God's promises and faithfulness. It can also mean, unbelief can also mean weak faith. Now I'm going to look at it as weak faith, like Christians today having a weak faith in what God has promised for them. Well, why couldn't they enter in because of unbelief? Well, look over at Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. You'll find why they couldn't enter in. Look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 17. Moses here, they've come up out of Egypt, they've gone through the wilderness, they've received the commandments, they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And look what Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 17 says. This is before they're getting ready to cross all over, they're going to send some spies into the land. And look at what Numbers 13, verse 17 says. And Moses sent them two spies out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this word and go up into the mountain. Look what he says in verse 18. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be in, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was a time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses is getting ready to send these men in to spy out the land and to bring back a report. And to not only bring back a report, but to also bring back some fruit. Listen, he says to bring back some fruit that you can get in that land. You know why a lot of Christians are failing of the fruits that are listed in Galatians? It's because they failed to rest themselves in the land that God's promised them. He said, bring back some fruit. Well, where do you get the fruit? You get the fruit in the land that God's promised. Well, how does fruit grow in your life as a Christian? By spending time in the land of God's promise, His Word. You fail to spend time in here. You fail to spend time studying God's Word, applying God's Word, trying to live out God's Word. Your fruit is going to be shriveled up, if not no fruit at all. But if you're willing to enter in and rest in Christ and what He's accomplished for you, you can therefore then bring forth fruit. You see, the devil has done a masterful job today in our society to always keep us in a state of fretfulness, of anxiety, of depression. Because when you're in those states, you're looking inward at you instead of outward at Christ. Do you see this morning? Ultimately, depression, anxiety is ultimately a pride issue. Because it's all about you. Brethren, this is hard stuff this morning. And I'm saying it because, listen, it's something that I battle with. I'm not up here saying something and just, I'm saying it flippantly. I deal with depression in my mind. Just talk to my wife for a few minutes. I don't know how she stayed with me for all these years. It's something I've fought since I've gotten saved. My inclination when things get rough is to run away and hide. Brethren, listen, I could do what Brian and Glenn, I could go off in those woods and never come back. I don't need to talk to nobody. I don't need to eat with nobody. But ultimately, brethren, that's selfishness. I'm being selfish. I'm only thinking about Chris. I'm not thinking about my children. I'm not thinking about the brethren in the church. I'm not thinking about those that are lost out here in this community. I'm consumed with how Chris feels. Do you see? Do you see what I'm talking about this morning? It's not about Chris Welton. It's about Jesus Christ. He must increase. I must decrease. It's not about me. It's about him. But you know why society is in such a mess today? Because you're taught from a little kid that it's all about you. It's all about you. The world revolves around you. You can be anything. You can do anything you want. It's all about you. Just go for it. You cannot be anything you want to be. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you can't be what you want to be sometimes. I could not be an NBA basketball player. I'm too short. I'm too fat now. I'm not fast enough, and I'm not strong enough. And I could never play in the NBA. But you can be anything you want to be. No, I could not be a mathematician. I stink at math. I could not work for NASA. I would blow the rocket up. Do you see? You cannot be anything you want to be. But what's put forth to people today in the commercials? You can just do whatever you want to do. Just if you can dream it, you can be it. I want to be a millionaire. That ain't working out too well for me yet. Actually, I seem to be going in a hole further. Brother, we don't think in reality. We live in this fairy tale land and everything's wonderful, everything's good. It's not. But these kids think this in their mind. Well, but the problem is if they do attain it, they realize they're still miserable. They still ain't got it. You got 10 cars in the driveway that cost $100,000 each and you're still not happy. Why? Because happiness is not there. You see, they're trying to satisfy themselves. You can never satisfy yourself, and the devil knows that. So if he can get you to look inward instead of outward at Christ, he's got you. Look at David. Listen, if you deal with sorrows, go through the book of Psalm 100, chapter 119 in the Psalms. Thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word. What does it do? It quickens me. It quickens me. It makes me alive. It helps me. It lifts me up. I'm overwhelmed. I believe in Psalm 119, the word horror is used. I'm enveloped in horror. I'm overwhelmed. The waves of God are overwhelming. I'm drowning in my distress and my despair. But thy word, I turn to thy word. I meditate upon thy precepts. Thy statutes are my delight. Do you see the victory over those times where you feel that way? It's back to God's word and resting and trusting. Saying, God, I don't feel like I'm to be happy. God, I don't feel happy right now, but I know what your word says, and that's what I'm going to rest in. And I'm going to get up out of my bed. I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to do everything I know I need to do today, and I'm not going to crawl up in a ball and shut the lights off, shut the curtains, and not talk to the world. That's what the devil wants you to do. God wants you to say, get up and just start doing the right things you know you're supposed to do. And then that depression, before you know it, will start to lift. Because you didn't give into it. Brethren, I'm telling you serious stuff this morning. Serious stuff. We've failed to enter into the rest that God has promised because we're looking inward. You say, preacher, it's rough. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. Because look what they had to deal with. Look at verse number 26. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. They returned after 40 days. Look what they said now. This is what you got to fight, brethren. This is what you got to fight. Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. If you've never read it before, I make a little mark there. Put a little highlight by verse number 26 down to verse 33. This is a Christian walk, and this is what a Christian's got to deal with. Look at verse 26. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So get this morning. They come back 40 days. They've been gone. They come back and they bring back these huge grapes. They got them on poles and they're carrying them in and they're bringing report back to the whole congregation saying, look, this is what we got. Verse 28. But here we go. Look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against that people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that, look at this, tell me this doesn't apply to your brain and your mind. It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight. Do you see their mindset and what they're feeding themselves? And not only what they're feeding themselves, what they're now feeding to the congregation? There's no way we can win this battle. We can't go in there and take that land. There's giants there. We're like little grasshoppers. They'll consume us. Then you got the Canaanites. You got the Amorites. Hey, stop looking at what you see and look to what God said. God said, go in there and take the land. I'm with you. And he's saying that to you this morning as a saved individual. If you're born again, God's saying, get into the land. I'm with you. Stop looking at what you see. Go off of what I've told you. Stop listening to what's being pumped into your ears and in your eyes and what the enemy's saying. You can't do it. You can't never get victory. You'll always be a loser. You'll always be in depression. You'll always have anxiety. God says, stop it. I provided a way out. Just enter in. God already promised to them to go in there and get it because he said he would be with them. And they turned their back on God. Moses said, be of good courage. And now they come back and say, look at this good fruit we got, but I can't have that good fruit. No, you can have it this morning. You can have it. You can have victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than overcomers in Jesus Christ. You can overcome this morning. I can overcome this morning. But we need to walk with Jesus Christ, and we need one another. We need one another. Look, about, I don't know, but it was probably about 6 weeks ago. It was a while back now, 7 weeks ago. We were first up here, and I was struggling. It was rough. It was some things going through my mind, just dealing with some things. And somebody sent my wife a text. Somebody sent my wife a text, and she said, Chris, come here, look at this. And you wouldn't you know that thing lifted my spirits? That little bit of word of encouragement changed the whole thing around. We need one another. You see, the enemy wants to provide, the enemy wants to put a wedge, and not only wedge, he wants us to keep us isolated. You're over there, I'm over here, they're over there. Away from what? No, we need one another if we're going to fight and make it through this thing. We can't just crawl up in a hole in our bedroom and shut the door and lock it and make everything black in there and not face reality. That's not Bible. That's not victory in Jesus Christ. You're a light that needs to shine. But if you put it under a bushel, how's anybody going to see the light of Jesus Christ? Do you see what the devil does? He wants to drive us to despair, to drive us to looking at us and what's going on with us, and it's all about me. And when you do that, you start to become a recluse and you go off into a corner. And what you're doing is exactly what the devil wants you to do. He's making you take that light away, which is Jesus Christ is supposed to shine through you to this dark and lost world. It's not easy, brethren. It's not easy at all. Actually, it's very difficult. It wasn't going to be easy for them to go in and take that land. There were giants there. There were giants in that land. The Canaanites were there. The Hittites were there. The Perizzites were there. There were mountains there. There were walled cities there. But they could have got victory over it. Because look at what happens when they finally walk in with Joshua. What happens to Jericho? They walk around it and everything falls down. They walk around it. and they got victory. They didn't have to shoot cannonballs. They didn't have to call in A-10 warthogs to blow them up. They walked around a city and God made the walls come down. It's because they were obedient to what God told them to do. You see, there's some things you might be struggling with in your life right now. And if you just do what God says to do, the walls might come down and you might get some victory. But if you keep saying it can't be done, I can't do it, it's not possible, you're remaining in the wilderness. God wants you to enter into His rest, the land of promise. Stop wandering in the wilderness and ask God help you to get into the promised land where there's victory and where there's fruit. Good fruit, big fruit, noticeable fruit. You know why the church has lost its power? Because it's lost its fruit. It's lost its fruit. You know what? I'm going to close with this thought right here. We're going to continue on this study because there's a lot more in this thing. There's a lot more in here. Genesis 1 or Genesis 2, 1 through 3, God rested from His works, and there's victory in that. There's victory in resting from your works and resting in Jesus Christ. But you know what speaks volumes? Not saying anything at all. What does James say? He says, if you can bridle that tongue, what mastery you got. I'm going to close with this thought for a second. You know what really would speak to somebody? I'll give you an example. If we're out there holding up those signs. Now the way we do it, we go out there, and thank you for everybody that goes out there. We go out there and we hold up scripture signs. Every one of them that we hold up is scripture except for one. And it says, where will you spend eternity? But everything other than one I got says, I got one that says guilty conscience, and then it has a verse on it. Other than those two of it saying have a guilty conscience and where will you spend eternity, everything else is scripture. If you can we just hold it, we don't say anything. And I don't want nobody saying stuff while they're holding the sign. Just hold the sign. And you know what would really drive someone crazy is if they came up and they started saying stuff and you just quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't give in to the provocation, to being provoked. You see, what does the devil do? He's a master provoker. He tries to provoke you. He know what your little buttons are. Every one of you in here, you got a button. Every one in here, you got a button. Even you three. You got buttons, right? And those buttons are pushed. Woo, here we go. But if you can keep your button okay, even if it's being pushed, and you can just control yourself and have character and allow God to work through you, and you don't say nothing back, either they're going to say you're crazy or they're going to say you got something I don't got. And what is it that you got? You say, I got Jesus Christ. But see, if you react like they want you to react, you just lost your opportunity because you're just like them. And they'll say, see, you ain't got nothing I need because you just acted like I acted. You see? Do you see this morning? But if you can control yourself, you can bridle your tongue, and you can just be a good witness and a light, even though everything in you wants to scream back out at them, and you can allow God, the Holy Spirit, to work through your life, there's some fruit that this world needs to see. And there's power in it. There's power in resting what this book says that God's given you. He's given you promises. You don't have to live in a defeated state. I still try to fight with it, brethren. It's still a battle in my mind. But one thing I've tried to learn through the years is when I feel like doing absolutely nothing and I just want to quit, to keep putting one foot in front of the other and just keep doing what I know I need to do. And eventually I realize it's lifted. It's gone. Because I kept pressing forward through my feelings and relied upon what God said. Now, have I fallen short many times? Yes. To my shame, yes, I have. But I'm not going to quit. And I don't want you to quit either. Keep going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in what He says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this morning. I thank You for this Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray that these things make sense. Dear God, I pray You'd help this church to see that there's promises. There's a rest that can be had in Your word and through our salvation, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to lay hold on it, dear God. Help us to lay hold on that victory. Help us to be more than overcomers. Lord, help us to rest in You. Jesus, help us to rest in You. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing. help us to go forward. Though the flesh, though the mind, though the enemy, though the devil may say everything against us, help us to continue to go forward and not to quit. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be there for one another. Help us to be there, Lord, for one another, to love one another, to talk to one another, to spend time with one another. And Lord, give us discernment. Lord, help us to hear that still small voice this week, if you should allow us to tarry. Lord, help us to hear that still small voice that may say, send that individual a text. Why don't you call that person up and see how they're doing? Why don't you write them a letter? Lord, help us to be sensitive to these things. And Lord, help us to love one another and help us to love you first and foremost with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break here. We'll get going here in a few more minutes for the Sunday morning service.